Good morning. Welcome back, students. For those of you who are new, my name is Troy. I'm one of the pastors here. And today we're going to be concluding our teaching through the book of Ephesians, one of the books that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. And today we're going to be concluding that. Next week we'll start a new series. But I would invite you to get out your Bible, if you have one, or your app or whatever, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, this is a very interesting book, and I would say that it's one of my favorite books in the Bible, and it's so appropriate that Paul begins this book in chapter 1 declaring to those who he's writing to, saying, you guys are chosen of God to be children of God. And as children, he talked about all of the benefits that come to us as Christians. And usually when someone begins to write a book, they begin early on saying why they wrote the book. And definitely, Paul wanted to let us know that we are part of the family of God, in this family called the Church of the Living God. And within this church, all the mysteries of God are being made manifest to the world, and not only to the world, but even beyond the world. But you know, whenever you write a letter, particularly a longer one, you want to put the bookends and make sure that everybody gets those right, don't you? And so he began saying that we are the children of God, the family of God. But today we get to the end, the finally. And also at the end, we know that generally the Apostle Paul and most writers want to end it with something that you will never forget. And he begins this book with, you're the children of God. And I hope that all of you know that he ends this book by telling us as children that we're to be warriors, we're to be soldiers. And it's not just about a loving family that is fathered by God. No, it is about being brought into the kingdom of God, of which God is calling us to battle, to war. And if you look with me at chapter 6, verse 10, we're going to see it so clearly in these verses that we're going to be looking at today. Paul said, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. See what Paul is saying here? Children, you're in a battle, and you need a strength that you don't have personally. You need a strength that is literally God's strength. You'll need this vast strength. Be strong in the Lord and in his vast power. Put on the full armor of God. It's a power beyond yourself. It's something that you can't even comprehend. Now, some of us struggle with biblical concepts, and I think we struggle because we don't think rightly about them. Let me put this in perspective for you just a little bit. Just this last month and just last week, I manifested some unbelievably powerful feats. For example, I was able to get from Ames, Iowa to Cody, Wyoming in just over 2 hours. I did that. Even this morning, I live almost 6 miles away, and I was able to get from my house to this building in less than 15 minutes. I did that. We had a storm in Iowa this week. I'm sure you guys are aware. And I encountered massive 100-year oaks and massive 100-year cottonwoods and not so massive maples that were on the ground. And I was able to divide these massive trees into little pieces and parts. And even the bigger parts, I was able to lift them and move them out of the way. I did that. It's true. And all of you know it's true. But did I do that in my strength? Did I do that in my power? Well, I went from Ames to Cody in a jet. Mostly had nothing to do with me. I just got on. Oh, and I actually turned the steering wheel and pushed the gas to get from my house to here, but mostly it was my truck. And yes, the other things, oh, is a chainsaw and a skid loader and other helpful equipment. But sometimes I boast in the reality that I have done something, and in fact, I should be boasting in a power that is apart from me, that somehow I was able to get in on. And that is exactly what Paul is saying. He's saying, you have an enemy that is more powerful than you can possibly imagine. And you cannot take on this enemy in your own strength. You need to learn to get into and to fully put on all of the power of God so that it is his strength and his vast power that you're able to destroy and conquer and stand against this enemy that has already, by the way, been destroyed by God himself. And he describes this enemy and he says it clearly, your enemy is the devil, and not just the devil, it's also all of his army. And he even says more specifically, it's not other people. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, the cosmic powers. He referred to this earlier in the book, in chapter 2. If you flip back, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he said this, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to, and mark this, the ruler of the power of the air. The spirit now working in the disobedient, the spirit now working in those who are not yet believers. Those forces are at work still. He referred to it again in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is something that Paul had in his mind when he was writing this whole book. Chapter 3 says this, this grace was given to me, the least of the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. And look at this. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may be made known throughout the church. To who? To the rulers. To the authorities in the heavenly places. Guys, you know, it's not just about your little life and your little world and your little known parts. God in his sovereignty has called you to be his child, and he's called you to be in battle, and he's called that battle to be a testimony to something that is way beyond us. Do you have a plan? You see what it says right there? That it's the schemes of the devil. He's literally trying to destroy you, to destroy us. And Jesus talked about it, didn't he? He says the thief, the accuser, he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it's not just him as the ruler. It's literally rulers, Paul says, in the plural, and authorities, Paul says, in the plural, and cosmic powers of darkness, evil spiritual forces in heavenly places. How many of you guys have thought about that? I think most Christians today, if you were to say, hey, give me a few words that would describe what it means to be a Christian. How many words do you think people would list before they got to warrior, soldier? And did Paul tell Timothy in his letter? You're a soldier. No soldier engaged in battle entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And you know, any soldier that has ever been enlisted, his whole life is oriented around being a soldier. There's a separation between a soldier and a civilian. You met these people, you know them. Maybe even now they're coming to your mind, or if you've ever served, you know, it's your entire orientation. And that is what God is calling us to. You're in a battle that you're ill-equipped to fight, especially in your own strength, and especially if you're not even thinking about it as a battle. This week we had a pretty powerful storm, a land hurricane. A land hurricane. They said that on national news. At my house, I'm a long ways from a hurricane. At your house, and you saw the devastation. I think I was a fool because all of the staff went into a tunnel below this auditorium, except for me and a couple others. I just wanted to watch the storm. I didn't realize how bad it was. At 10 o'clock, it was bright and sunny. And then at noon, we were all going to die, right? I didn't know. No one told me it's a land hurricane. I maybe would have gone in the basement if I'd have known how bad it was going to be. But no, I went to the biggest windows in our building so I could watch the storm coming in. Did you do that? Well, maybe you're foolish also. And as the storm was coming in, there was a sparrow. They'd either got caught by the wind or caught by the rain or caught by something. But on our back patio, the sparrow got hurled to the ground. And then it got caught in the vortex of what looked like a hurricane that was between the grill and the corner of our building. And this little sparrow just got sucked in, and he was in a little pull, and he was getting tighter and tighter. And you could tell he was trying to fly away, and he was just... he didn't have enough power. And so I thought, God sees sparrows. Maybe God wants me to rescue the sparrow. And so I grabbed the door, and at this point, the rain was hitting the window and the door so much that rain literally was coming on the inside, and I was avoiding getting wet by being on the inside. And I went to push on the door, and I felt the strength of the storm, and I said, it's just a sparrow. And God knows even when a sparrow dies, and I think this storm would kill me too. My foolishness stopped at the door. Because I'm telling you, had I stepped outside in 100-mile-an-hour winds that was taking the roof off of our building, I might have been laying down by that sparrow because I did not have the power to stand against that. God does not leave us like sparrows unprepared. But we're to put on the full armor of God. Look at verse 13. For this reason, you don't have the power. For this reason, you can't do it on your own. For this reason, you're in a battle. Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand. Verse 14, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like an armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're to neither attack nor retreat, but we're sure supposed to stand. Four times in this passage, it gives the command to resist or to stand. And isn't that what James said also in his letter? James, the half-brother of Jesus, encouraged us. He says, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And didn't Peter say it like this in 1 Peter chapter 5? He said, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone that he can devour. Resist him. Firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the entire world. Guys, nowhere in the scriptures are we called to fight with the devil. Nowhere in the scriptures are we called to attack the devil. In fact, it says that some so foolish decided that they would go after these demonic forces, and yet the scriptures calls us to stand. The battle is coming. The war is raging. You just have to be prepared for it. Didn't Jesus say it like this? The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And then Jesus said, what happened? The wind came, the rain came, the battle came, the war raged, and the person who built their house on the sand, demolished, devoured, destroyed. And the one who built his house on the rock stood firm. One of my favorite hymns is written by Edward Mote. The hymn is, My Hope is Built. For some of you who are old school church hymn people, right? You know the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not hear a sweeter fame. And then it goes on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Verse 10, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, he says, take up the full armor of God. Let's look at it a little bit together so we can actually take our stand. Truth like a belt. Truth like a belt. Now, I have heard tons of sermons on the armor of God. Have you guys? Show of hands, please. Maybe some of you, this is your first one. And I love how pastors are. They just want to tell you stuff that they knew that Paul didn't actually know, and he was inspired by God to write these things and make so many unbelievable applications of all of these things and even the order and all these. Well, maybe they're right. Okay, I just think here's what happens. Paul was in jail thinking about what God had done in his life, and he looks out the window and he sees this centurion guard, maybe one he had already led to Christ. We know in Philippians that he was leading all the guards to Christ, and he was noticing that they were all in uniform, and he knew that he was writing mostly to illiterate people. Can you imagine this? I'm gonna write a letter to someone who can't read. And what Paul was thinking is, I need to put it on the lowest shelf, dumb it down such that they could remember it. And so he took the common things of life, just like Jesus did. He talked about birds and plants and farming and trees. And he tried to make spiritual applications so whenever these people saw common things, they began to think about spiritual things. And I think Paul was doing the same thing. He was looking at this soldier and he was seeing all of these things. And so he was just saying, I need to take these practical things that we see all the time and apply them to biblical truth so that these illiterate people could stand on the foundation of their faith. And the soldiers, they girded their loins, so to speak, with a belt that held things for them. Like you think about an officer, and they put so many things on their belt. And Paul looked at that and he said, that's truth. The foundation of truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. But guys, it's not just truth that is freeing, it's actually knowing the truth. And Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. He looked at their breastplate that was armor and he said, that's righteousness. Like righteousness. And you know what righteousness is? It's wanting to be with right with God. I love what Jesus said in the reading this week. We were reading the Beatitudes. And he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they would be satisfied. Have you thought about what you hunger and thirst for? Is it righteousness? And he said, oh, the sandals, and it's not just any old kind of sandal, it's a soldier sandal, literally, that had spikes on it so they could stand their ground when they're in battle. And it says, the sandals are the readiness of the gospel of peace, peace with God and peace with one another. Are you sharing the gospel? And Isaiah said, how beautiful are the feet of those who share the gospel. And the shield of faith, talking about extinguishing the flaming darts of the enemy. The doubts that come against us, against God, are extinguished with faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love that. The word of God. You know, in your Bible, there are two words for the word of God. There's the logos, the written word of God, and the rhema, the spoken word of God. But there's two implications of those kind of things. It says, in the beginning was the word, the logos, and the word became flesh in Jesus and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. And then there's a word that actually is a word that is applied, a word that is known. And it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus spoke scriptures to the enemy. And it's not just knowing it, it's applying it. And whenever we apply the word of God, we have the Spirit of God and the power of God and the word of God applied to our lives and applied to every situation in our life. Guys, we are living in a rocky day. And I'm telling you, the voice of God is not very often heard. And even among believers, the word of God is not very known. At a nightmare this past week. You want to hear about it? Do you want to hear about it? Okay, well, I asked a question. You just sat there. You know, we recruit pastors here to train them to plant churches. And in this nightmare, I called them in the first section, and now they're all getting their alert. And I just said, okay, what I want you to do is take out a sheet of paper and write down all the books in the New Testament. I want you to write down the author's intention of all the books and a key verse in that. And just let me know why the author wrote all of the books in the New Testament. And they just looked at me kind of stunned. They didn't know what to do because they couldn't complete the task. And so I said, okay, just one book. And I picked one book. And I don't know, in my dream, I picked Colossians for some reason. I said, just do Colossians. And they looked at me stunned. And it was a nightmare because sometimes even leaders of the church are not very good Bible students. They don't know the word of God. And so they stand on these things that are not rooted in the truth. You can't stand on something that's not a rock when the winds and storms come. Jesus called Peter, Peter for a reason because it means rock. And he said, upon this rock will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And it's not Peter. And it's not any people, but it's the Word of God, the solid foundation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's not just the Bible revealed, it's the Bible that is known, and men and women of God who handle the Scriptures and are able to deal with every single situation in their life because they have the foundation of the Word of God. But then Paul concludes our text today. How are we to engage in this battle? What is the activity? Oh man, here's a warrior. Here's a warrior. Pray at all times in the Spirit. What does it mean, pray in the Spirit? Oh, remember we just talked about the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. In other words, pray. The Word of God, pray in the Spirit, in tune, in line with God. Pray not your own ideas, but what God wants. Pray in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with perseverance and intercession. Pray for all of the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough to speak it as I should. In a nutshell, what are warriors supposed to do? 10:02, pray. Oh, you don't believe me? Look how he closes Colossians. Devote yourselves, chapter 4, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for us to the word, that we can speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, so that I may make known as I should. Act wisely, he encourages us, toward outsiders, those who aren't in the faith yet. Make the most of the time. Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you should know how to answer every person who asks you. Pray for laborers. Pray for people to be saved. Pray for God's will to be done. It's a crazy warrior task, isn't it? And why do we pray? Because you remember, what can you do apart from the power of God? And didn't he begin this whole section, finally take up the full armor of God, finally be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his vast power? And hasn't he provided the Spirit to us? And through that Spirit, don't we cry out, Father? And can't we say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then can't we pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done. You want to fight this week? Oh, you are. Winning or losing? Pray that God would save the lost. Pray that God would change this world. Pray that God would use the events of our culture today to transform us to be who he wants us to be. Jesus, we recognize that we're bad soldiers too often. But even the best soldier is ill-equipped apart from the army and apart from the armor, apart from the weapons. And Paul writes that the weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. And they're able to tear down strongholds and destroy them. And we need that today, God. We need it. I need it. So would we be warriors who are standing on the rock, but more importantly, would we be warriors who are on our knees crying out, Please, God, please. We're just sparrows lost in the whirlwind of the storm. Only you can save us. Only you can use us. Please. We pray in the powerful name, the name that is above every name, the name that every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.